God has given us his word so that we might, as we just sang there, recall the wonders that he has wrought, the righteous judgment he has taught. Remember these, you chosen ones. So as those whom God has chosen and called, let us then turn to his word. John chapter 15, we'll be reading together. And the verse that we will be focusing on this morning on the occasion of the profession of faith for the young people here is verse 16 of John 15. So let us read John chapter 15 together. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends. If you do whatever I command you, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled which was written in their law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you in from my Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. Following the proclamation of God's word, as we've read that together from John 15, let's sing together from hymn 65, verse 1, 3, and 4. Beloved brothers and sisters, young people in Jesus Christ, what are you into? What are you into? Sometimes we talk like that about people's hobbies. A common expression we hear is, I'm not really into that sort of thing. Or, yeah, he's not really into that. Or we might hear it positively by saying that's something that they're really into. We say it about music, say it about sport, say it about four-wheel driving and fishing. For example, someone could be reading a book, and for all that you try, you just seem to cannot get their attention. Perhaps you've seen that before, and perhaps you've even been that person yourself. Someone sitting there completely absorbed because they're in their book. They're almost, as it were, in another world. And so I ask you again, what are you into? In fact, the wonderful privilege of having just addressed you is that the answer has just been given. Beloved brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. And that's going to be our theme for this morning, coming from John 15, especially looking at verse 16, abide in Jesus Christ. Abide in Jesus Christ. Young people here today, this morning, abide in Jesus Christ. And we're going to see the privilege of abiding in Jesus. We're going to see the purpose of abiding in Jesus. And we're going to see the promise of abiding in Jesus. Now, Jesus had just finished his Passover meal with his disciples. We read in the verse just before our text, just before our chapter in 14 verse 31, he says, arise, let us go from here. And Jesus is saying that to his disciples as he is sitting with them in the upper room, just about to leave. And they walk out of the upper room and they walk through the streets of Jerusalem, because this is at that moment in Jesus' life when he is making his final journey to the road of Garden of Gethsemane, and also then to the cross. Before he arrives at the Garden of Gethsemane, he leaves that upper room with his disciples. He walks through the streets of Jerusalem, and they pass many of the houses along the way. And probably Jesus sees a vine growing up the side of a house, which would not have been uncommon in the ancient world. And he stops, and he turns to his disciples. And he says to them, I am the true vine, and my Father is a vine dresser. So Jesus takes a moment to stop with his disciples and to teach them and instruct them. And using that analogy and that picture of the vine, and this is the setting for our text. Everything that takes place from verse 31 of chapter 4 through to chapter 18 occurs from the time of Jesus leaving the upper room with his disciples to the time that he gets outside of the gates of Jerusalem to the Garden of Gethsemane on the night of his trial and crucifixion. And he's using this picture of the vine to teach his disciples and to teach all of us and to teach also you young people here this morning the privilege of abiding in Jesus Christ, but also the purpose and also the promise that you have of abiding in him. And our text begins by saying, you did not choose me, but I chose you. Jesus had chosen 12 disciples to learn from him, to follow him, to walk alongside him during his earthly ministry. And that itself was a privilege. We have the privilege of hindsight and looking back and seeing how the Son of God had come into the world and he had chosen 12 ordinary men to walk alongside him and learn from him. That the very one whom God the Father created the world, the very one by whose authority they were very much living and breathing in that moment, had called them and chosen them to walk with him. And that is the same word used here as is also used in the Old Testament when God chose Israel. We see that in Deuteronomy chapter 7, the Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession out of all the peoples of the earth. The Lord had set his love on you and chose you. And so the Lord chose Israel as his own possession. They were to walk with him, follow him, learn from him. And that is a wonderful privilege to have been chosen by God. But what does it actually mean that you've been chosen? Well, in our text, perhaps you notice that there is a verb or a word that is continually repeated throughout chapter 15. It's that word abide. In verse 4, we read there, Jesus says, "Abide in me." And then he speaks to his disciples again in verses 5, 7, and 9. In verse 5, it says, "Whoever abides in me," verse 7, "if you abide in me and my words abide in you." And verse 9, "Abide in my love." And so the great truth for believers is that call to abide in Jesus Christ. Another word is to remain in him, to be in him. They are chosen to abide in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And we see that throughout other passages of the New Testament as well. We see that there is a great privilege of being in Christ because whoever is in Christ is a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. There's a great privilege of having a new life. As Paul says in Galatians 2, it's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And the eternal glory and future and destination of those who abide in Christ, as Peter says in 1 Peter 5. The grace of the God of all grace who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ. And so I can ask you again, beloved brothers and sisters, what are you into? Well, let me start by also telling you what God is into. God chose you to be in you and for you to be in him. That is the glorious privilege of being called by God, by chosen by him. To be in Christ equally means that Christ is in you. That is the privilege, that Christ dwells in you. Those are the words that Jesus used there in verse 4. Abide in me and I in you. And to be in something, is that not to then also mean to be consumed by it, absorbed by it? Just like someone is absorbed and consumed by reading a book, watching a novel. And what is it that God is telling us here? Well, it's telling us that in Christ, beloved, he is consumed in you. Absolutely absorbed in you. And there is proof and demonstration of that throughout the whole Bible. Jesus proved this by giving his own life. Now, what more could Jesus do to prove that he loves you and he wants to live with you and dwell with you than to give his own life for you? You see, Jesus is not an investor like a businessman, brothers and sisters, and young people. And Jesus didn't come to you and say, "You first prove yourself to me, and then maybe I'll consider a relationship with you." Jesus doesn't say, "I'll look at your prior history. I'll see if you're worthy of my time. No. God in his good pleasure has set his love and his claim on you and chosen you in Christ. Unconditionally, no strings attached, without any merit. That is his love. And that call has gone to you continually through your parents instructing you and raising you in a Christian faith, through catechism classes and instruction, and also through the preaching of the gospel. That is consistent with also how God works in the past. Think of Israel. It's nothing that Israel did. There's nothing so great about Israel that made them worthy before God, that he would choose them to be his own people. And think about the disciples. Who would have thought that Jesus would come to associate with such people on the earth as sinners? But these were the people he died for. The people he chose and called to belong to him. And it's surprising that Jesus would then also call us too, isn't it? If we really stop to think about who we are, we examine our own life. Why would God choose me? There is nothing in me that makes me worthy for him to look upon me and call me and choose me to be his own. And yet he has called you, young people. He's called you to walk with him. He's called you to follow him. And he's made that clear to you also in giving you the sign and seal of baptism. You don't remember that, but your parents do, and there's a church record of that. Even before you could choose the Lord, he has already put his claim on your life and chosen you to be his. And you've also then learned why he's done that, because there is a purpose to why he's called you to be his own. And we see that in our second point, we see that there is a purpose of abiding in Jesus Christ. There is a purpose why he has called you and claimed you as his own. Because verse 16 continues there and it says, "And appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain." "And appointed you to go and bear fruit." Now Jesus doesn't leave us to decide what fruit we need to bear, brothers and sisters. And that's a good thing, because sometimes we think that we know what fruit we should be producing as Christians. But rather, God instructs us and teaches us of the fruit that we can bear as his ones whom he has called. And the fruit that Christ is speaking about here is a fruit of the Spirit. It is fruit that comes from a heart that is motivated by love. A love for your Lord and your Savior Jesus Christ, who has called you and chose you and given his life for you. You see, it can be a trap for us to fall into producing counterfeit fruit. Fruit that just looks like fruit on the outside, but not motivated from a heart of love. As important as it is to do Christian works, coming to church on Sunday, reading the Bible and Bible study and paying money to the poor, giving our offerings, those things are all important for God's kingdom work. Is it not yet possible to do those things that is not motivated from a heart of love? Just going through the motions, ticking the boxes, that can be a real danger. But he has appointed us to bear fruit out of love for him, that we're doing it all for him. That is what the Lord Jesus is talking about, by appointing us to bear fruit. Jesus has said in the previous chapter, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." And so we cannot separate love and obedience which then also shows those fruits in our life. And it is true that God takes the initiative by his grace, binds us to his Son through the gift of faith. That is a wonderful privilege, but the purpose of that is then also a response of faith and bearing fruit out of love through obedience to his word. That fruit will be produced through obedience. We cannot separate love and obedience and fruit. It's not the obedience that will bind you to Christ. It's the obedience that is going to characterize those who are in him. Because obedience will flow from those who are in Christ, because Christ is in them. And to pick up on our earlier illustration, brothers and sisters, we then also need to also examine our own hearts and ask, what are we into? Because what we are into will determine the sort of fruit I'm going to bring forth in my life. Do I love Jesus? Do I love his commandments? Is it truly a joy and a delight to know him and walk with him? Do I love to obey his word? Am I consumed and absorbed by him and in him? Because if we are, then we will see also that fruit produced in our lives and in those in the church. Fruit of love, joy, peace, and kindness to one another, goodness, and gentleness, and self-control, all the fruits of the Spirit that will express themselves in the Christian life toward each other. And there is also a warning in this passage too, beloved. You see, we cannot fool the Father with a counterfeit obedience. Because the Father, he is the gardener, the one that we read about in verse 2. And there is a dire warning which must very somberly be taken to heart. That those branches that are not producing fruit, those that are withering away, will be cut off from the vine. Those who by disobedience, not exercising the gift of faith and trust that God has given to them, those who persist in refusing to be obedient to Christ, will be cut away, burned up, and thrown into the pit of fire. And Jesus gives us this warning because of the following verses after verses 16 and 17. He gives us this warning because you are going to be challenged, young people. You will be tempted. You will be faced with a world that is going to try and starve you from your relationship with Jesus Christ. Satan wants you to wither away. The world wants that as well. And that is what you're going to be facing. And so there is a warning here also. If you were of the world would love you as its own, but because you are not of the world, but I chose you of the world, therefore the world hates you. And so you're going to face temptation and influences from the world. You will be pressured into abandoning the faith. You will be pushed into abandoning the word. And you will be challenged to compromise. You'll be tempted with alcohol. You'll be tempted with drugs. You'll be tempted with sexual immorality. Everything. There will be many voices calling you to get into everything except Jesus Christ, against the call of God, as he has called you to be in Christ. And perhaps you've already experienced some of that already. Those temptations and those struggles and challenges to remain in Christ and committed to him in the face of such opposition in the world. But you can know that going forward from here, it is going to be certain. Because Satan knows that today you are making a public declaration before God, before his church, that you are going to fight against him and his kingdom. You are lifting the shield of faith and you are going to withdraw the sword of the Spirit. And God is bringing to pass the prayer which we all prayed for you at your baptism. May you live in all righteousness under our only teacher, King and High Priest Jesus Christ, and valiantly fight against and overcome sin, the devil, and his whole dominion. That is the Christian life. And sadly, many have fallen. Many have been removed through disobedience. Think of Esau. Esau despised the covenant. And there's many others, examples in Scripture. And they should serve as examples and warnings for us also today. Think of Demas, Paul's fellow worker who loved money more than the kingdom of God. And think of Judas Iscariot, he who got to walk with Jesus for 3 years. And yet he despised the Lord Jesus. You see, Judas was not present when Jesus had this discussion with his other disciples. There were only 11 disciples here at that time because Judas had already left. Why did Judas leave? Because Judas was into something else. Judas was into money, the things of this world. And there's a dire warning for all of us from God's word this morning, brothers and sisters. If we're not prepared to get on board with Jesus Christ, if we're not prepared to get on with living the Christian faith and obedience, then such persons will wither away and be cut off from the vine. From Christ. Jesus has chosen you, young people. He has called you. He has bound himself to you so that you would be bound to him, and now he appoints you to a life of obedience, not out of compulsion like a servant as we read, but out of love as a friend. He is your friend. Yes, your King and your Lord who's holy and demands reverence and majesty, but he is also your friend. And you know what a friend does, right? A friend walks beside you. He walks with you during the hard and the difficult and tough times. And that's why he also gives you the promise, as we're coming to our third point, the promise of the one who will be with you. He will go with you and walk with you as you take up that shield of faith and that sword of the Spirit, as you go out also to stand for Jesus Christ in this world, to also remain committed to your vows here today. Because he knows it's hard. He knows it's a struggle. It's going to be difficult for you. He knows that. And so that's why he's given you the wonderful promise at the end of verse 16. He says there that whatever you ask the Father in my name, it will be given to you. And so you are not on your own. You are not on your own. Now that promise there that the Father is going to give you whatever you ask in the Father's name, it does sound a little bit like maybe a genie in the bottle Christianity, that we can ask God of anything and he's going to do that for us. And sometimes in our childlike ignorance, we think like this. Perhaps as a child you thought that if you've really wanted something, maybe for your birthday, you only had to ask God, and then he would give that to you. But that is not what Jesus is teaching here. This is not a genie in the bottle Christianity. That word whatever in verse 16 needs to be understood in light of verse 7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. And that is the key right there in that verse. Abide in me and my words abide in you. Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. The key there is the word. The word of the Lord Jesus. The word that he has given to you. When we are guided by the words of Christ, we will be praying for the things that the Father wants to give to us. Whatever we need for our obedience in our service to him and our fight against the world, whatever we need to love one another, to have joy, to experience peace, to show kindness, all those fruits of the Spirit, gentleness and self-control in our sacrificial and unconditional, no strings attached love and service to our Lord Jesus. He will surely give you what you need to do that. Every gift in Christ, every gift He will provide readily available at His disposal to pour out upon you. And so that is also the importance of prayer. Prayer working through faith and through His Word. That the promises that you have received through His Word and every gift of Christ is available for you as His children to walk in His name in this world. And He's not left you alone but given you the Spirit. The Spirit, Jesus, is something Jesus talks about quite a lot in chapter 14. He speaks to His disciples there and says, He will give you another helper that He may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, He dwells with you and will be with you, and He will teach you all things. And so you need to trust that you need to trust this because it's going to be hard work. Trust that God has given to you the Spirit. When in faith we trust God and we are obedient to Him, as hard as it may be and as hard as it seems, you will be obedient. You will succeed in your Christian life with Him. And so refrain from getting into the things of this world. Refrain from getting into everything that is going to tempt you. And so be in the Word. Give your time to the Word. There's so many temptations and distractions for young people today, for all of us. We can spend so much time in everything else. We can spend time in our phones. We can spend time in Netflix, Disney Plus, movies. There's so many things that can just preoccupy our mind and our attention. And yet all those things are fleeting. They're all passing away. And those are the things that time after time will eventually lead to you withering away. And so it is urged upon you today to be in the Word, be in Christ. Go to Him. And you know what? He will give you joy. He will give you joy. You will taste and you will see that the Lord is indeed good. We tend not to be very optimistic in our world or optimistic about the possibility of experiencing joy. However, God's promise to you is that you will experience ultimate joy through a relationship of love with Him. When you walk with Him, when you learn from Him, read His Word, pray to Him, speak to Him, He will give you joy. Ask for it, pray for it. And brothers and sisters, you are here this morning because, and young people, who's at a point in time where God has called you. And He's continually calling you. And God said, I want to bind myself to you. I want to be your God. And I want you to be my son. I want you to be my daughter. And He's given you the sign and seal of baptism to prove that is true. When we are baptized into the name of the Father, God the Father adopts us to be His children and heirs, promising to unite us with His Son, so that we would be in Him and He in us. And baptized into the name of the Spirit, He promises to dwell in us and make us living members of Christ. Living, not withered, living. And although we do this as individuals, beloved, we also do this together as a congregation. And so we need to pray for each other. Brothers and sisters, you need to pray for these young people. You need to walk alongside them, be there for them, share their burdens and their struggles, and carry them. Because the person sitting next to me and in front of me and the person behind me equally shares in the promises of abiding in Jesus Christ. Jesus desires to abide in me equally as the person sitting next to me and behind me inside me. His love and His grace is unconditional. That call goes out to everybody indiscriminately. So what makes me more worthy than somebody else? Nothing. It's not in me, it's all in God. And so that then calls us to also love one another, to pray for each other and also care for each other. And when we do that, beloved, together, we can anticipate that God will do great things. He will do great things through us. And young people, he also will and can do great things through you. Profession of faith is not the end. It marks the beginning of your public commitment to Jesus Christ. And so I ask you, young people, where are you going to be next month? Where will you be in, say, 5 years' time? Where will you be in 10 years' time? Where will you be in 60 years' time? And what sort of fruit are you going to produce for Jesus? Or are you going to be a withered branch? And where will you and where will all of us be on Judgment Day? Are we going to be a branch bound up and cast into the fire? Or are we going to be a branch that is so alive that that fruit has brought praise and glory to God, and we will be bound up with all God's children into his eternal barns of glory? And so what are you into, beloved? Well, I know what God is into. God is into you. And he has shown that by giving you his Son, Jesus Christ. And he's chosen you in Christ. And he's calling you once again today to be in him through faith, trust in him. That is the privilege. And so go and bear fruit. Produce that fruit abundantly through every gift that he has given to you and the Holy Spirit. And that is your purpose, to then bring glory and praise to him. And he will give you everything you need to do that. God the Father will give you whatever you need to do this. That is his promise. His promise to you. And he is faithful to fulfill all his promises. Amen.